The Protectors of the Wood episode series. Episode number 17. Phoebe's father burst out anxiously.
All right. You hit a spot where we need help. Abby's a Chapman, a sort of niece of Wendy's. You should know that Abby's grandfather helped work the apple farm in Hidden Valley long, long ago, and was with the family when the mob burned their village and they all went into hiding.
What? I can't believe I've never heard of this.
It's not so surprising. It happened over 70 years ago, and there are many reasons for people in this town to keep it quiet. Respectable folks usually hide major crimes in their family's history, and they don't like to be associated with the victims either. The effects of these crimes are far from over.
Her skin shivered as she listened.
But for now, I just want you to understand Abby's importance. She's Wendy's favorite, but not a part of the inner circle. Wendy's father and brother worry about her, but keep her at a distance. They have the idea that Abby will find a life on her own, but a life still connected with all we're doing. A kind of special mission in the outer world. Your mother and I actually live near Wendy's father, but we never see Abby. We know she spends time with Wendy in the forest, sometimes weeks on end.
Peter's eyebrows once again made a thick wall over his troubled eyes. Phoebe felt a dark and threatening problem looming in her father's face. She bit her tongue to remain silent.
Just listen. Just listen. He's telling you what you need to know.
We're also aware that Abby has a boyfriend from a family involved in the Morphy clan. A family whose grandfather helped burn the houses and cabins in Hidden Valley so many years ago. Are you getting some idea what you stumbled into?
His gaze moved swiftly back to Phoebe, but she looked away.
No wonder Sammy won't buy her vegetables. And are these the people she knows who walked out of the church?
I can see why John Chapman encouraged us to open up to you and Penny. He must have an intuition about you young people.
Phoebe couldn't grasp the whole picture. She felt distracted by the crows making a racket nearby. They seemed to be practically in the garden itself.
Did he say Wendy's brother? Who is that? And he said John. Could that be the same John I heard about yesterday?
She was growing hot in the small garden under the bright sunlight. The air was still. A trickle of sweat ran down her temple. Her father shook his head and sighed.
I hate to put a burden on your shoulders, but anything you can do to help Abby understand these dangers, anything you can do that would protect her from those who would exploit her.
But why would you depend on me for something like this? I don't quite understand what they're after. I still don't feel like I'm getting the whole story. Surely you or Wendy or Abby's parents could do a better job.
Peter wore his most severe face, eyebrows brought so low that his eyes were mere slits. Finally, he asked,
"What would you suggest?"
"I don't know. You're supposed to know."
"I wish I did, but it's not a problem I can solve. We tried. Wendy's parents are off in another town and don't associate with us. They pretend they're not involved in all this. Long ago, they quarreled with Wendy and will not speak to her. The parents have no control over Abby whatsoever. Wendy has far more influence than they do. But why would a young girl consent to living with her ancient aunt far from friends and community? even an aunt as interesting as Wendy. Maybe for a short time, but you can see how it is. Abby's a free agent. What should we do? If persuasion hasn't worked, should we try to intimidate her or use force? Those are the tactics of people we despise.
Phoebe had enough sense not to reply. Her father reached over to the rosemary again and pinched off the end of another branch. He nibbled on it, chewing slowly to calm himself. The sharp yet soothing scent wafted over Phoebe.
And Wendy's a wild card, too. I'll speak to her again when I get a chance. But I can't tell you how fiercely stubborn and independent she is, insisting on doing things her own strange way. She's given Abby a lot of freedom and shares more with her than any of us think is wise. But ultimately, someone's got to help Abby in town where her friends are.
But what if I mess it up? Or Abby does? There seems to be a lot at stake here.
There is. And all our efforts may fail. Why do the good thing only to be destroyed? Why even try when we'll be destroyed anyway? Why risk making a mistake when we could do nothing and deny all responsibility?
Phoebe sighed.
All right, I get it. When you put it that way.
I don't mean to belittle what you're asking. There are questions for all of us. They come up all the time, for the oldest or the youngest.
But I get it. There are things only I can do.
I think you're fabulous.
That's enough, Dad.
They sat in silence, feeling happy that they'd reestablished their partnership in this strange world. They drew the moment out, extending the time they could sit comfortably together.
I want you to know that you can come to Hidden Valley. You're invited, Phoebe.
Phoebe was about to reply, but Peter held up his hand.
Oh, it's clear you don't want to visit right now. You got other things on your mind. And it's a hard journey. Too much for your knees at this point. But someday, you'll want to come. Just let us know. Chi-Chi visits every couple of days. He'll guide you to us.
I saw Reverend Tuck preach about climate change. Abby was there too, and we want to join in. I have a feeling of something happening all around me, much larger than myself.
Reverend Tuck is inspired, and so are we all. It's the mission of the Protectors of the Wood. You and Abby have joined up. It's her doing.
Phoebe nodded. Once again, the crows were kicking up a racket. Peter stood up and then stepped up on the hay bale, looking toward the forest.
I've been wondering where those crows are. I think they are forest crows, King and his band. Normally, we don't see them over here.
Those crows have names?
They sure do. They're Wendy's favorite. Her personal assistants, you can say. Yes. My goodness, right there. On the long branch. Look. They're rising up.
Raucous voices filled the air. Phoebe stood and saw at least half a dozen crows flapping their wings, rising off a long horizontal oak branch extending over the field of Christmas trees. One huge black crow spread his grand wing feathers out against the sky and swooped directly overhead. Phoebe stood up and watched the others follow in a wide arc and finally rise over the taller oaks and disappear back into the forest.
Well, I never had a visit like that before.
Do they know us, or am I just imagining things?
They know me, and now They know you too. They're a lot smarter than most people would think. And somehow, they communicate with Wendy.
Peter picks some squash and finger beans and tomatoes and basil and put them in a paper bag.
Why don't you take these back to the house for dinner? Try to spend time with your mother. She's there with Penny helping to prepare for the party.
Phoebe hated the idea of party planning, but she knew he was right.
Yeah, I'll see if there's anything I can do.
He gave her a squeeze on the shoulder.
I'm so happy we could spend this time. It means so much to me.
And me too.
I'll see you back there tonight. We're planning a late dinner.
Peter arrived after dusk. He appeared silently out of the darkness as they sat on the back porch. Phoebe noticed him standing quietly near Dr. Bear's driveway, looking back for a minute, as if he were afraid of being followed. This aspect of her father was new and strange to Phoebe. Throughout her childhood, he had been so open and available to people, dedicated to the community, like a cross between a minister and a politician. Now he seemed like a man in hiding, carrying a great burden, furtive and afraid. That night, Phoebe sat up late by her open window, thinking over the events of the last few days. She realized she had taken on responsibilities, but had no idea how to fulfill them. She wanted to save the toy store, but that seemed very unlikely. She had already been turned away. Her father had asked her to help Abby and protect the secrets of the forest, but she didn't know what kind of help Abby needed, or even what the secrets of the forest really were. And to top it off, she apparently had an important ability, a sensitivity to Dreamstone, and she didn't understand it at all.
What did Penny tell me over breakfast? Something like, people are looking everywhere for Dreamstone, especially here in Middletown. My father says the Morphe people are searching, but why here? And where exactly and how? They can't just be digging random holes in the ground. No one explains these things.
The whole problem was very disorienting. After living in Middletown almost all her life, Phoebe now felt like a stranger. She couldn't enter the toy store without feeling unwanted. Her mother's painting of Middletown in the forest was full of areas unknown to her. And the whole county had a fascinating and frightening history she'd never heard of before. The new seeds and plants all seemed to come from a heritage that had been forced underground, hidden deep in the forest. And Dreamstone, an incomprehensible wild card, was also a part of that heritage. Abby seemed to be an ambassador of that world, now coming to light as a source of hope amidst the tragedy of climate change. The protectors of the wood had to be connected to these things. And she, Phoebe, was now a part of it too. But what could she really do to help? She wanted to so badly. It was painful. She quietly climbed out of bed and peered down the hallway. The rest of the house was dark and hushed. Her sister had long since fallen asleep. Phoebe tiptoed her way down the stairs and out to the front stoop. The moon would be full in a day or two, and now was high and bright above the forest and the cliffs. She gazed out across her own wild wood and listened carefully, trying to hear the river in the distance.
It's a wonderful world, but what can I do?
Listen to all the Protectors of the Wood episodes on www.protectorsofthewood.com. Episode 18 is coming soon. Thanks for listening.